Coming up on this episode of The Social Hour, Facebook video ads are happening. How do you feel about it? Well, you might want to just apply for a job on LinkedIn instead. And Mixbits, the next big social video sensation with a twist. All that and finding love on Instagram next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 123, recorded Friday, August 9th, 2013. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Social Media Solutions from SAP. If you're a social media manager at a large enterprise, gain insight and engage in social media with Social Media Solutions from SAP to improve your customer service and support experience. Take a guided tour today at sap.com/twit. And by Tonks Coffee. Tonks offers bi-weekly subscriptions. Tonks sources their beans directly from growers. They're roasted and shipped within 24 hours, giving you the freshest coffee beans in the world. For a free sample, visit tonks.org/socialhour. That's tonks.org/socialhour. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another fabuloso episode of The Social Hour. It's Friday and we're ready to party here at the Petaluma World Twit headquarters. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and I'm still in Prince Edward Island, as you can tell if you're watching the video feed, because I have the wood paneling behind me at my parents' house in their basement, and leaving in a couple of days, but have had a great vacation, and still following all the social media news and lots to talk about today.
Amber, I have to ask you, before we go any farther, because apparently there's some pictures on the wall of, you know, interesting things that have happened in your family. It kind of looks like over your right shoulder, somebody's shaking somebody's hand. Is that like a president or a...
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. So my dad years ago, actually a couple of decades ago, used to run a magazine, and he has pictures with many of the different world leaders who he had a chance to meet and sit down with. So that's kind of what's behind me. So there's a few of them and some other government officials, and he put them down here. They just sort of, this is like an old office that no one uses, but the pictures are behind me. So a little bit of history.
I love that. Wow. I had no idea. What was the name of the magazine?
Kind of fun.
What kind of magazine was it?
It was called World Business, and it was focused on international affairs and trade and other business articles. So, it's kind of interesting. He did that for a while, and my dad's a ton of traveling, as has my mom. They've lived overseas, and pretty neat history for sure.
Absolutely. Your family just gets more and more interesting the more I learn about the member. To say, we traveled around too.
They have their moments
really like that. Well, let's get into some of our social news of the week. Starting off with this Facebook story. It came from the Wall Street Journal. Oh, what was it? It was actually just yesterday. And this is the idea that we've heard about for some time, that Facebook would like to introduce video ads onto their platform. Video ads, of course, are attention grabbing in a way that just a regular old banner headline or text-based ad would not be. However, you can just imagine the potential backlash coming from the Facebook community if you had some sort of a video ad in your stream, and would it autoplay, and oh my goodness. I think the story here is that this is going to happen, but CEO Mark Zuckerberg, according to Wall Street Journal, says, we've got 1.1 billion members. We've got to figure out how to do this without annoying them to the point that they stop using Facebook. Because, of course, if they stop using Facebook, the ads, no matter what they are, will not be effective. As soon as this fall, Facebook hopes to launch a video ad service that'll show members 15-second or less clips, so 15-second total, on smartphones and the web. So this is a web initiative plus the mobile initiative. This is according to anonymous people speaking to the Wall Street Journal. and that Facebook needs the ads to be prominent enough that they'll convince brands who have money to give Facebook about $2 million per day. So, Amber, there's a lot of money at stake here, but it's sort of a tightrope to walk, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. And there have been reports floating around the internet about analysts saying that Facebook could make about $1 billion next year based on these video ads. But there could be a whole bunch of problems, like you mentioned. I think people may get frustrated with the ads, especially on mobile devices. You know, they talk about the ads being 15 seconds or less, but potentially some advertisers will want longer video ads than that. And I think that's where Facebook is definitely going to run into problems, especially with load issues and how long it will take for the videos to play. So I wouldn't necessarily want to be navigating these waters like I'm sure Zuckerberg is right now. But obviously, they have to figure out a way to continue to generate revenue. And this is a great opportunity. But who knows what users are going to say at the end of the day if it really interrupts their experience.
I think you'd see if there is anything ad-based that somehow comes across, especially when you're on mobile, you know, you're scrolling through your newsfeed and all of a sudden you hear something
exactly.
And you don't see it. And that's one of the most annoying things. I think that there are going to be people who are annoyed no matter how flawless it's rolled out. It sounds like, at least on the engineering side, one of the concerns is these video ads should load quickly, almost simultaneously, you know, as a user clicks on it. And that can be difficult, of course. They've got so many users, so much scalability to think about. And it'll be interesting to see how they roll it out and, yeah, what the reaction is. I hate the idea, but I take great pains not to pay attention to video ads. And I know that it's probably when I'm talking about like pre-rolls and that sort of thing, you know, on YouTube, when it says I can skip the ad in 4 seconds, I always do. So, you know, maybe we're just we're not the audience that's as used to video ads. I think probably, you know, folks that are the next generation have seen so many more of them that maybe it bothers them less. Maybe they're a little bit more open to the possibility of this just sort of being the way of the future. But then again, you have a lot of older people on Facebook, too.
Yeah, I just have to wonder, though. I mean, I think historically people have shown that they're frustrated by any type of commercial, so video advertisements that have been on television. And I can only imagine that many of us feel the same way about video ads popping up in a stream, like on Facebook, for example. So I just can't help but think there are more clever ways to be able to generate revenue as far as advertisements than video ads like this that seem kind of traditional and old in many ways. And I think we see things out there like branded content, companies creating their own video series and that type of advertising that can be very effective. So this feels a little old and dated to me. Like I said, I know they have to do it, but I'm not sure they're going to be that successful with it. It just seems as though people love skipping over these ads. Like you said, we're so used to experiences where we have seamless experience with services out there like Netflix, and we just don't want to sit and watch unless there's some compelling reason to. And I just don't see the compelling reason here at all.
I don't either. Right. There are a lot of things about Facebook that I don't find very compelling. But video ads, it does seem dated, and it seems a little bit of like, what else are we going to do? We got to make the money, right? Mm-hmm. There's no other way that advertising is going to bring us the kind of money that a video ad would. And that seems a little bit like, if you're resting on the laurels of video advertisements, then we're not really innovating in the internet space, are we? Again, we'll see how it looks. Also, as far as innovation, LinkedIn has introduced a new way for us to all get jobs. If you're looking for work, if you're unemployed, or maybe you're just looking to try a new career, you hate your job, you can now, as a LinkedIn user and a job seeker, apply for positions directly via the mobile apps on LinkedIn. This is actually kind of interesting. LinkedIn recently allowed people to allowed companies to post jobs, and someone like me, let's say I was looking for a job as a line cook. This is my expertise. I'm really good at, you know, working with teams and this and that. And maybe there's a restaurant in my area and they're looking for positions that I might be able to fill. I could see those jobs, but now I could apply for those jobs. And what I like about this, Amber, and I've definitely said this on the show before, is that I've always used LinkedIn not to its fullest potential, because there's so much on LinkedIn original content and sort of a social part of it that I know is underutilized for me, but I always use it as my updated resume. My entire career history, where I went to school, what I think my best skills are, what, you know, kind of my one-liner cover letter, that's all on my LinkedIn profile and has been for years. So I think this is a great idea for LinkedIn to kind of say, listen, you should be able to use us as a tool, not just as a place to, you know, store your data.
Yeah, I mean, I love this because I think this really gets back to what LinkedIn has always done best. The idea is it's a place where people go, like you said, to maintain their resumes and keep all of their job information up to date. So I think this is a smart move for them. And I just have a couple of questions about how it's going to work. I wonder if you are able to tweak your listing on or your resume information on LinkedIn based on changes that may be appropriate for certain jobs. Because right now it looks as though you'll be able to just kind of take the information that you have as part of your profile and that will be used to apply for a job. But I think we all know that it works best when you can kind of customize your experience for a certain position. But it doesn't look like that's in here yet. Maybe in a version two of this.
That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it be? Obviously, LinkedIn would not want to promote saying, well, you know, just change your what you're looking for in your next job to satisfy this HR manager that may have posted this job. We'll help you do that, because that seems a little bit manipulative, right? But it would be kind of cool if LinkedIn could say, hey, as a user or maybe a power user, because of course they'd love premium subscribers, you can have a standard resume. We can help you with another template that's sort of tailored to maybe a job in the communications field versus a job in the medical field. So maybe there could be a little bit more kind of template-based resume making opportunities that LinkedIn could have that would help people when applying for jobs, not to make it sort of this burden of, oh, here comes the 400 LinkedIn resumes, because we're letting people apply for jobs via the LinkedIn resume app and they all look exactly the same. And I've looked at lots of resumes in my life, Amber, and it's like, you know, sometimes the ones with the photo on the pink paper really do stand out, because once you've seen a few of them, they all start kind of looking the same.
Yep, totally agree. And this is kind of an interesting stat from the bottom of this TechCrunch article that talks about a study from February of 2013. Saying that over 6 million people have used mobile services or mobile devices in the U.S. to apply for jobs. And that was double what it was in 2012. So we know that obviously people are applying for more and more jobs from their mobile devices. And, you know, when I think about it, it kind of surprises me that LinkedIn hasn't had this until now. And I think they'll be hugely successful with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, LinkedIn is first and foremost, always been kind of that place for that resume of the future. So I think this makes a lot of sense. And hey, we're all on the go. So if you're using the LinkedIn app and you can just go ahead and apply for more jobs as you're, you know, walking from interview to interview, well, hopefully we'll all get employed a lot sooner. And, you know, employment is a top concern for a lot of people these days. So I think it's a good move. Speaking of people of various ages wanting different things, kind of an interesting study that you found on a Mashable article, Amber.
Yeah, so this is based on stats that seniors are the fastest growing group as far as adopting social media in the U.S. A lot of people jumping on that bandwagon using different devices. They say this year, 43% of Americans over 65 use at least one social networking site, compared to 26% in 2010 and only 1% in 2008. So we know more and more seniors are starting to use these different social networking tools. I don't think this is a big surprise. And I think we'll just continue to see these numbers grow as more people retire and they get comfortable using different social networks. I think Facebook will be one of the first for many people, but obviously that will evolve over the next few years. And a neat stat. So if you have a grandparent out there who says that they can't get on social media, well, here is a report to prove them wrong.
It's kind of cool. I love this, right? I mean, there are all these people. I mean, you know, I guess you could say if you're retired, you have more time than ever to be on social media, but of all ages. And it's nice to see that there is less of that gap between people who just will never, ever, ever understand social networking, you know, and those of us who are just made it part of our lives. I know that, you know, my grandmas, I had one grandma that for a while sort of embraced instant messaging with me. she did it for a while, and then I think she was just like, I can't deal with it anymore. And then I had another grandma who just the idea of a computer sent her into a tailspin. It almost angered her because she felt so out of the loop, and I always felt kind of bad about it because increasingly that's what the rest of us would talk about, you know, over Thanksgiving dinner, that sort of thing. So I think it's great that we're all a little bit more on the same page. But it's also really interesting for companies like Facebook, for example. Mm-hmm. Facebook wants to roll out some sort of new ad initiative to make a bunch of money. Well, if you've got a bunch of people that can't wrap their head around the fact that there are video ads playing, you know, in their updates from their friends playing golf type thing, well, that's not good. You kind of have to make sure that you are building products that work for a variety of different generations who feel differently about communication.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's, you know, just watching these different demographics start to use different social media services, it also opens up a whole bunch of opportunities, I think, for other companies who are building startups and want to focus on new audiences. Obviously, seniors, that's a new audience. I just got a PR pitch recently from a company that was building tablets just for seniors. So we know more and more that this audience wants to use these tools, and they are definitely growing and increasing in numbers.
Quick reminder that we record the Social Hour live on Fridays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. If you are watching us live right now, you know we jumped the gun a little bit. We're actually shooting two back-to-back shows for this week and next week's show because I'm actually going to be on vacation next Friday when we normally record our shows. But if you're watching us or listening to us after the fact and you think, watching live, is that doesn't really work for me. I'm working or I'm traveling or something like that. Don't worry. You can always catch up with us at twit.tv/TSH. That is, you know, we really like everybody who's following us live. And, you know, Amber's very good about tweeting when the show starts every week better than I am. But if you can't, being on demand is the whole point. We make sure that we've got audio feeds, video feeds for all of you. Oh, yeah, that's last week. We're looking at last week's show. I forgot that I was at home because I had this ridiculous delivery thing, which all worked out very well. Thank you for asking. And of course, anything that we talk about or you'd like to weigh in on, variety of ways you can get a hold of us. But some of the easiest ways are to email us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. All right, let's take a moment to thank SAP. It's like an old friend now. SAP makes social media solutions, which is perfect for our audience. Because SAP is in the business of helping companies use social media to improve their customer service and support processes. I mean, we're talking about advertising and making sure your customers are happy. It's kind of a theme on the show so far. So social media solutions, it fits right in there, especially because sometimes you've got happy customers and sometimes they're not, and you've got to deal with them. You have to make sure that they know that you're out there, that you're listening, and that you're going to do something about some feedback that you get. If you work in a large enterprise, you know that it can just be challenging. You need to stay on top of the conversation, but if too much is coming in, well, you don't want to get overwhelmed and stop responding to people or make it seem like you don't know what you're doing. So here are the two components. You've got a listening component with social media solutions. That's how SAP just brings everything in. SAP is basically sort of sniffing out all of the things that folks are saying about you. Maybe it's on a review site of one of your products, or maybe it's on Facebook, or maybe it's on a personal blog or Twitter. It's all over the place. You don't have to do as much searching. It all comes to you. And then the engaging component helps you improve customer service and support because you've got a team. You can set rules. Hey, Joe over there, he's the one who responds to tech support. Cindy does not do that. She responds to, you know, somebody being, you know, angry about maybe something not being delivered in time, some sort of a shipping delay, that sort of thing. You might have a lot of team members that are just dealing with different stuff. So the engaging component of social media solutions just sort of helps you. It's sort of sorting your mail for you, I guess you could say. All the activity on the social stream can lead to direct customer engagement when you respond to them, because you can drive your sales. you can solve your customer problems. You respond to customer feedback and the customers say, wow, that was awesome. They were really listening. I'm really glad I decided to complain on Twitter, that sort of thing. Social media solutions from SAP gives you more than marketing. It's a lot more than marketing. You're improving your customer service and your support experience for your people. And everybody's better off because of it. Go to sap.com/twit to take a guided tour. Showed you a little bit of it, but they've got a great guided tour over there to see for yourself how social media solutions from SAP works. That's sap.com/twit. That's an easy one to remember. All right, let's move on now to, got a little spotlight this week, Amber. This is a little app called Mixbit. Went live yesterday. I've got it here, running here on my iPad, although it is an iPhone app. It does run just fine on my iPad. And I think this is especially interesting because it's from the creators of YouTube, Steve Chen and Chad Hurley. Mixbit seems a lot like, I'll show you a video that I took recently.
All right. It's getting a lot of attention too. I've seen a ton of headlines about it so far, and it seems like they're getting a ton of press, but curious what you think of it so far, Sarah.
Well, it's interesting. So I took some pictures of, well, some pictures, some videos rather, of my cat Sam begging for salmon yesterday while I was putting together my rundowns for the day. And as you can see, we're basically looping through four different video clips. All right, so here's the video, and then you can see, oh, okay, I'm on number two. Oh, I moved over to number three. Here's number four. Okay, interesting. Well, if I wanted to make a new video, the way that it works starts to feel a lot like Vine. First of all, it'll make you set your iPhone or iPad in this case to landscape mode because if you were using your phone, that's the way that you're supposed to shoot. Anyway, so you say, all right, this is a really great shot. I love this video. All right, one, two, that 3 seconds is about enough of that. And I move over here. Sorry for the very not compelling video that I have. And down here on the bottom, I'm starting to see little different color codes emerge. All right, here's my third one. Okay, now I've got here's number four. Okay, so I've got four different little video clips. I'm kind of done here. I'm ready to go. I say, okay, let's look at it. Oh, very compelling, Sarah. Very compelling indeed.
Beautiful shots of that chair and couch, Sarah.
Don't you just love it? Yeah. So, all right. So it's like, okay, well, here's my stuff. Well, maybe I'd like to rearrange the way that the clips came in, you know? Maybe I'm more interested in clip two being, you know, maybe I kind of want that to be first. So you've got some neat editing capabilities that you don't have in an app like Vine or even Instagram. Instagram will let you delete and reshoot before you post, but you can't just sort of mix them around. You can also you can also delete or duplicate particular clips to kind of help with the creativity. You can also delete if there's a certain clip kind of in the middle that you're like, it's not really working. Then you post. And so on. So there are a lot of things that feel like, oh, this is like a Me Too video editing app, social app. But what's interesting about it, Amber, is that a couple things that jumped out to me that sort of the social part of it is there's really no emphasis on your follower count or how many likes a photo or I'm sorry, a video gets or comments. All of that stuff is stripped out. So it's pretty much kind of like an open pool of a community saying, all right, everybody, let's just contribute some really cool stuff to the Mixbit project. And also, if you like a video that you see on Mixbit's website, and this actually is not part of the app, you actually have to use a browser that's not even a mobile browser, a web browser, you can download other people's clips. If you see something from a particular... so this is a Coachella little montage. If one of these clips, I'm like, oh my gosh, this would kind of be perfect for like the Mixbit video that I'd like to work on. You can use that clip and kind of remix it into your own creation, which I think, you know, is pretty new and interesting. We've seen that with certain sort of like art and photo apps before, but not really in the video space. And I don't know. I kind of like it just because it feels like they're trying to approach a new video social network so differently.
Yeah, it looks kind of neat. I mean, I watched just a couple of the different clips that were created, and I think it does feel a little bit more collaborative than perhaps some of the other video tools that are out there. And I think they've really nailed that community element that you mentioned. Obviously, they have a ton of history doing things like this based on the success of YouTube. And I wish them all the best. I mean, I think it's a bit of a crowded space right now as far as doing little videos like this. But because you have all these tools to remix and edit, it just makes it that much more interesting than just a simple, you know, say 6 second Vine or something like that.
Yeah, I think Vine being 6 seconds is, it's just a whole different medium. Mixbit has every single clip that you record can be up to 16 seconds long. So that's 1 second more than Facebook. And we've talked about in the past that Facebook's whole 15-second thing might do very well with the whole video ad revolution that Facebook is coming up on. Because, look, it's all, you know, it's there, you've got your little compartment already built that people are used to. So Mixbit, 16 seconds. However, you can have more than just one 16-second clip. In fact, you can record up to an hour of content because you can record up to 256, is that right? 16-second?
Yeah, I think so.
16-second clips. So the potential for this is like, I mean, you could have something like a social hour length show. I mean, it's, I haven't seen anything like that. But it's definitely a different medium. So I guess you could compare it to other apps just because it's like, oh, it's another app that does social video. But it does feel really different.
Yeah, I think there's more potential. I don't know. What do you think? How long before the first person who creates a music video or a film using this tool? It won't be very long, I don't think. Based on just looking at their Twitter feed, they've had a bunch of really creative videos that have been developed already. So I think there's a little more breathing room, I think, in the creative process with this, which could get very interesting as people really showcase some awesome videos online.
Yeah, I think you and I have both sort of said in the past, I don't know, video is tough to catch on. It's not like photos. It requires more of a commitment from the end user to say, oh, okay, I'm ready to watch this video. But I think something like Mixbit is so not trying to compete with something like an Instagram. It's so different. It's really kind of designed to be longer format, really.
Yeah.
That it's just a whole different thing. And I mean, I remember when YouTube launched. I mean, these are the creators of YouTube. I remember thinking, well, that's a really stupid name. And,
yes.
You know, look at YouTube now. That was a long time ago, so hopefully you'll all forgive me. But, you know, at the time, the concept seemed like uploading video to the internet. Yeah, okay, I've heard of that before. But it did change the online world forever.
Yeah, it definitely did. I think I mentioned on the show before, but I think there's a video clip where I'm standing with Leo during Call for Help and talking about YouTube, saying that this could get interesting. But it's a little embarrassing because we weren't sure of the full potential of YouTube at the time. But same sort of feeling, you know, you're just not really sure until you see the community kind of embrace it. But highly recommend, I think, if anyone wants to try out Mixbit, go start using it. It looks like they're going to come out with an Android app in September based on what they've written up on their blog. And just start experimenting. One of the best ways to really get a lead on some of these social media sites and get ahead if you're in social media marketing, for example, is to start to use them early and experiment with them. And this is a perfect opportunity to do so.
Absolutely. Hey, so we got a little bit of an email update from Daniel. You may remember last week he had called in, I think it was a voicemail, and let us know about the Chamber of Commerce in his town basically taking over a Facebook page that he and his family had set up about a street parade, or it was a street festival. And that, you know, the whole thing was a little bit like, geez, now what? Well, he had written in and thanked us for mentioning the issue. And he has a bit of an update. By the way, he lives in Madison, Alabama. So he says that his wife was really the person who had spent all of this time kind of building up this Facebook page, and that the Chamber of Commerce told her, as reasoning for taking the page over, that they were concerned people might misidentify the page as being official. He says, okay, we made continual statements saying that it was unofficial and unaffiliated, but fine. He says they thanked her, but declined to add her as any type of curator for the page afterwards. guess they wanted to keep it official. But he says since taking the page over, they haven't used their chamber page or our creative page to make any sort of posts or create any engagement whatsoever. So it sounds like, according to Daniel, his town, which is a small town, he said, just a few thousand people, the Chamber of Commerce decided, well, we don't want somebody that's unaffiliated with, you know, our municipal government having a say over something that, you know, is representing us on Facebook. But we don't really want to do anything with it afterwards. And we're just going to make it seem like we do. And then it'll sort of sit there and wither, which we've all heard of that before. He said, Daniel says, my wife has also created another page, which is unaffiliated with the event or the chamber, to continue her work. She's gotten 400 likes for it in less than a week, which is no small feat considering our hometown is very small. And this is actually her, look, they're at 447. Our Franklin County. So there's, I think Daniel and his wife are probably on the right path. It's kind of like, well, why don't you just do your own thing and not worry about the chamber, and maybe you can build up something really nice. But very frustrating, Amber. I kind of don't know what to make of it. I don't know if I have any better advice at this point, because it sounds like it was more of the city saying, nah, we don't want you to have power, but we don't really want to put any effort into it either.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in this case, the best way you can look at it is that there is potentially room for more than one page, right? And you just have to be happy with that, because it seems if she has gotten, like you said, 447 likes already, that's pretty successful for a small town like theirs. So just continue to do so. And maybe there's a way to make the page that you've created a little bit different and more compelling, and maybe different type of content. And the two pages will just exist. But we'll see maybe after 6 months which one is more successful. And I have a feeling I know which one.
Yeah. Sounds like it. I mean, you put effort into it. That's usually the number one key to success, is actually putting effort into it and curating and responding to the community and caring. All right. The next story, Amber, is what I like to call the social aww.
It's very cute, Sarah.
Even though part of me wants to barf just because I'm cold and dead inside. But I thought that it was cute enough and very social that we should talk about it. This is a story. It's a Tumblr page, actually, from a couple who are married but originally met each other on Instagram, fell in love on the internet, and decided to get married. Now, isn't that cute? They have a wedding video. Tumblr page is, you know, full of a bunch of pictures, but their whole thing happened when they had, you know, mutual friends and started to notice each other, kind of as like, oh, this is an interesting person that I am seeing, you know, comment on, you know, variety of Instagram photos and this and that, and they're both pretty artistic based. Very, very interested in photography. So they sort of fit the bill of like two people who would be happy and successful and want to hang out on Instagram. But I think this is, you know, sort of the way of the future. I almost called you Instagram, Amber.
It's okay.
It's maybe, you know, maybe I need less dating sites, and maybe I just need to hang out on really cool profiles on Instagram and say cool things. And my story will end as happily.
I think it's very cute. I especially like the new category on the social hour of social awe, because I think there's quite a few of these stories out there, right? Where people have great success stories. I know in my family, there are people who have met online dating that have been together for a long time, and it's happening more and more now. So I'm sure there are lots of Instagram couples who perhaps met out there and have shared their little journey on Instagram. So I think it's cute. Try not to throw up, Sarah.
I'll try. It's other people's happiness. I know I'm supposed to be happy about it, but, you know, they were 2,500 miles away from each other. So this isn't even like you were in the next town, and isn't that funny that we met on Instagram? It was very much a long distance, a service bringing two people together. And by all accounts, they are very happy and very adorable. Matthew J. and Robin May are their Instagram accounts.
So of course.
Go ahead and follow them.
They even match.
Yeah, exactly. They rhyme. It's meant to be. And if you're interested in looking at more really, really nice wedding photos, and some videos. We'll have the link to the Tumblr page in our show notes at the social, no, not the social art, Twit TV, twit.tv/TSH. Not an email address, a URL. Trying to keep those straight.
Love it.
Hey, so what's the, speaking of video on the internet, looks like we've got a little bit of a Vine of the week.
Yeah, you know, I'm always impressed with Vine. I think week to week, I'm seeing more interesting things being done on Vine, particularly in the area of social media marketing. And I think it was just a few days ago, maybe almost a week now, that Best Buy had posted this little Vine. And basically, it is hashtag college tech. The idea being teaching college students about college cuisine, and this is the grilled cheese version. So what they do in this 6 seconds is they show college students how to create a grilled cheese sandwich simply using an iron and some tin foil and obviously the cheese and the bread. And they basically iron the tin foil and the grilled cheese is done. So a pretty clever little video to put out there for back to school, just encouraging students maybe to go into Best Buy and do some shopping, and just a fun 6 seconds, you know, just that they're able to do this in 6 seconds, I think is kind of interesting.
Indeed. Are we able to play the video?
I keep trying. It's not doing anything.
Oh, that's weird.
I get this.
Because I was like,
I know. I've even tried reloading the page, and that's not
I tried to
anything.
Describe it in detail in anticipation. Hopefully, I did a decent job.
Yeah, I mean, it's not giving me any controls or anything.
Interesting. Well, let me pull it up on my iPad, and then we could play it that way, because we need to.
I was like, the most interesting Vine is 6 seconds of this title page.
Of me.
Yeah, right? Well, let's see. What would I search for? I guess just Best Buy?
Sarah, I can just throw you the link into our little spreadsheet here, if that helps. And you can, if you're within Google Docs on your iPad. I don't know if that's helpful to you.
I see. Grilled cheese. Yeah, I got it.
You got it?
All right. Turn on some audio here. Oh, maybe there isn't any audio. Oh, this is fun, though. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cute, huh?
Yeah. College cuisine. Wait. Whoa. Oh, I wasn't even really paying attention. Whoa. That's the coolest. Has anyone
Pretty
ever
awesome.
Done that before? An iron and tin foil? I love this. You don't even have to butter. Well, I guess they did butter their bread a little bit. There's another one, too. Let's look at the other one. College cuisine, lemonade ice pops.
Ooh, I haven't seen this one.
Ooh, nice. That's great.
They're really well done. I mean, obviously, they put some effort into them. But a perfect example of in terms of how Vine can work well. And I love it. I think, you know, A+ for them. Great job on this.
And I think we've, much more than Instagram, although maybe I'm just not following enough brands on Instagram, but I feel like Vine seems to be where you see some of the most creative ad-based collections, just because the restriction of 6 seconds is so restricting that, you know, something like this is like, if the ad was any longer, it would drag. You know, it's fun because you're like, oh, cool, got it.
It's useful, right?
Yeah, use your iron to make a grilled cheese sandwich. College student, got it. Awesome.
Exactly.
But useful. Yeah. It's the message is conveyed. You wouldn't want it to be an hour long. This is not a job for Mixbit, for example.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think it goes to the point that we've seen this on YouTube. One of the best ways you can create YouTube content as far as marketing is to do how-to videos. And this is like a simple little how-to.
Exactly. Love it. Good one. Good one. Good on you, Best Buy. College cuisine. We could all use more of it. Reminder, we love hearing from all of you. You can write us at the social hour at twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 2626-SOCIAL. Or record a video, upload it somewhere, send us the link, YouTube or Vimeo or something like that. Try not to send us, actually just don't send us files, because we won't open them. You will get an email from me saying, can you please upload this somewhere? Sometimes you guys just don't then. So I don't know. Please take direction. Help us help you. All right. I am tired, sick and tired of sitting here next to these coffee beans that smell so good. I have been distracted this entire show because I love the smell of fresh coffee so much. I mean, these are even sealed, and they still are so aromatic. I can smell them through the bag. This is Tonks coffee, people. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love this. I just wish I could just bathe in the smell of good, fresh coffee beans. Tonks is our second sponsor of the Social Hour, and it's a great, great fit because, boy, do geeks like coffee. Myself included. Tonks is a small company, if you haven't heard of them, made of a bunch of experts who love coffee and believe that everybody should be able to have access to coffee and not have to worry too much about all this fancy schmancy stuff. It's all about just getting good quality beans. Fresh roasted beans are the key. Tonks sources their beans from the growers. They roast the beans for you. And then they ship those beans within 24 hours of roasting for the freshest beans you can find. Now, if you care enough about coffee, or even just a little bit about coffee, I do this all the time. I want, you know, I go to the grocery store. I know I'm not supposed to buy beans that are pre-ground because then they'll be sort of stale. But even fresh beans sometimes have not been stocked in, you know, like a week because they often have the date of roasting imprinted on the bag somewhere. And sometimes I'll be like, gosh, that was 10 days ago. I already know this coffee isn't really all that fresh. So Tonks is already putting that into the equation and making sure that, you know, you get coffee that is absolutely awesome. It also keeps you from having to go down to some specialty store and wait in line and spend all this money on a latte and you know, then you got to tip the barista. And I mean, that stuff just adds up. If you get Tonks delivered to your house, you're getting the same quality beans. You don't have to go anywhere and you're saving money. Plus, I've actually really enjoyed hanging out at Tonks' website and getting some kind of neat brew tips. They say that coffee is obviously the most important part. What you really need is good coffee, and then a beautiful cup of coffee can be yours. But they'll give you some tips and tricks, you know, how to brew better to get the cup of coffee to the next level. But really, what's most important is Tonks sourcing directly from growers. They've got relationships with growers all around the world. And think about it. Maybe you don't drink coffee, or maybe you really do, but you need to somehow convince your best friend that the coffee that they're drinking stinks. This could be a fantastic gift. Maybe it's not something they would buy for themselves, but you want to make sure that they understand the possibilities of how good coffee can taste. If you think you're a coffee connoisseur, or if you love coffee, or you know somebody who should love coffee, try Tonks. Every 2 weeks, you get a new batch of incredible beans. It's shipped within 24 hours of roasting, roasted to perfection, subscription-based only. And here's the best part. They're offering a free sample to the Social Hour viewers and listeners. Tonks.org/Social Hour. That's where you want to go. Get some coffee from yourself or send it to somebody you know who loves coffee. Again, Tonks.org/Social Hour. Free sample. That is free coffee, people, and this is good stuff. I would not lead you astray because coffee is very, very important to me. In fact, it's how I get out of bed every morning. If there was no coffee, I would not be here. Sounds dramatic, but it's true. Thanks to Tonks for sponsoring this episode of the Social Hour. All right, Amber, it is time for the best part of the show. It's how we wrap up with a bang. It's your rad or fad.
All right, this one is kind of interesting, and I'm trying to think how I heard about it. I think someone might have mentioned it on Twitter. It's called Snap My Ad, and it's basically an app that allows you to use your social media photos potentially in advertisements for brands. But keep in mind, you have total control. So what a brand would do, within the app, they would list that they were looking for photos about a certain experience. If it's a Starbucks store, maybe they were looking at photos of a new drink that they had, and you submit your photo in exchange for potential perks. As far as I understand, people can kind of rate your photo as far as it making it to the top of the list and being chosen in that advertisement. And I think the big thing here is, Sarah, you have control over the whole experience. Now, I know I had tweeted about this a couple of days ago, and the folks over at Snap My Ad on Twitter had responded to a bunch of questions that people had, because obviously there are concerns about what happens with your image and ownership and all that kind of stuff. They're very fast to respond and answer many of the questions. And you really do own that experience and get to decide how your image is used. So you don't have to participate using this ad or this app, but if you want to, it's an opportunity to get perks and get rewarded for some pictures that you take of the brands that you love the most. So what do you think?
I think that, especially since this is something that you would elect to participate mm-hmm. in, I think this is rad. This mm-hmm. is, some of you might say, I would never want to be contributing to, you know, some sort of a, you know, advertising spin on, you know, my fine art, and that's fine. But I think others might say, well, a few perks, you know, maybe a discount somewhere or, you know, a free thingamajibby is worth it. This picture that I took, you know, it's funny. I was telling Leo the other day that I occasionally will get brands that will reach out to me. It's always Flickr. It'll be something random about, you know, a picture I took 5 years ago, maybe in another country or something that's it's sort of an unusual picture. And they'll say, hey, we'd really like to use this in a brochure. And it always makes me feel kind of uncomfortable because I'm like, I feel like it's sort of like you give somebody permission and then it's sort of out of control. It's certainly out of your control. And this seems like a little bit more of a, hey, you'll know exactly how your picture's being used. It might even be something that you kind of feel good about and you get rewarded. So I think in certain situations, it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think there's incentive for both the brand and the individual. And what I mean by that is, let's say you're going to your favorite coffee shop and you take pictures all the time and they're just retweeting them. Well, wouldn't it be a better relationship if you're motivated to maybe take more pictures, but you're also getting a reward for them? I think the only issue comes down to maybe the transparency at the end of the day. I mean, do you say on your Twitter feed, oh, I got a free coffee because I did this, or I don't know how you deal with that piece of the puzzle. But I think it is rad, especially because it's very clear, you know, there's nothing sneaky about this app, and it's just presenting itself as something that is put in place so that individuals who do take these pictures are able to potentially get rewarded and get these little perks. So I think it's kind of rad. And like I said, if anyone has questions about it, I know they're super fast to answer them on Twitter, and you don't have to use it, but if you want to, it's a fun little tool, and maybe you get a couple free things.
Yeah. Why not? You're interested?
Why not?
Sounds good. Snap my ad. Found in the App Store. Good
yep.
stuff. All right. Very well, this is our hour, people. We actually have another show to record for all those watching us live directly after this one. So you've got a whole nother hour of the Social Hour, but we like to keep our shows to about an hour because, hey, that's what our title suggests. Thanks to everybody who came along for the ride. Hope you enjoyed yourself as much as we did. Remember that our regular time is Fridays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Amber's usually, well, she'll be in Prince Edward Island for another episode, and then you'll be back in Toronto, the jet setter life that you lead. Anything great coming up in the next week?
Not so much. I'm going out to Alberta for a speaking event, and I'm going to Southern Alberta, and I've never been to Southern Alberta before, and I'll be there for a couple of days once I get back to Toronto, but I will be back in Toronto for our next episode a week from Friday. Not to confuse people, but not too much travel coming up for me, so just had a great vacation, and looking forward to getting home and getting organized for the fall, because my little guy starts school, believe it or not.
Oh my gosh.
It's craziness. I know.
What? I can't believe
that. I know. It's junior
that.
Kindergarten, but nonetheless, it's he is going to a school.
I just think of him as a baby.
I know.
In my mind, it's like, oh, Amber's little toddler. By the way, Marmot in our chat room says, hey, I'm in Southern Alberta, so maybe you guys can high-five each other when you're there.
Tweet me. Let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you next week here on The Social Hour.